Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to LombardiAv.com Packers pregame show here on Blog Talk Radio, where for the next 30 minutes, we will be talking about everything Green Bay Packers for as much as our time allows. Hello, everybody. I'm your host, Davey Miller, and welcome to the show. Joining me on today's pregame show is Doug Ayton from Fansided.com and our own LombardiAv.com staff writers, Kevin Gibson and Patrick Hughes. Gentlemen, welcome to the show, and before we get started, let me do a quick sidebar and say that the team captains for today on offense and defense is T.J. Lang and Ryan Pickett, and tight end Ryan Taylor is the special teams team captain. And Doug, let me start it off with you and the big question that I don't know if it was obvious or not the answer, but Matt Flynn is now the starter for this game and probably moving forward. This is the first quarterback switch Green Bay has done for a non-injury-related reason since Flynn's start against New England back in 2010. Is this the right call, Matt Flynn being replacing at this juncture Scott Tolzien? Doug?
Good morning, Davey. I really think it is, and I think Mike McCarthy said it pretty well in his press conference this week. You know, he did somewhat beat around the bush. I think he wanted to leave it kind of open-ended, not really back himself into a corner with his decision to start Matt Flynn at quarterback, but he earned his right to start. If you saw that game last week and saw not really how ineffective Scott Tolzien was mainly, but how effective Matt Flynn was in leading that comeback against the Minnesota Vikings, I really think the Packers had no choice but to say, Matt Flynn, you're the guy. We need to ride that high that we had coming out of that second half of last week's game. And especially with the short turnaround, you really have to continue that momentum if you have any chance of going into Detroit today and getting a win in what I consider probably the biggest game that these Packers have seen in a few years now, if you're looking at the playoffs anyways.
Mm-hmm. Certainly is a big game, and at this point it's definitely the biggest game of the season for a couple of reasons. One, because it's a division game, and two, these guys are in front of you, and three, it's the next opponent in a stretch of games where you need just about every one of them. So it's a must win on a lot of fronts. And, Patrick, speaking of must-wins, Josh Sitton was kind of playing a mind game this week, calling the Detroit Lions scumbags not really trash-talking. I think he was just venting what he truly believes. And what a lot of Packer fans know is that they do play dirty. Why don't you expound on that? What are your thoughts? Of course, McCarthy can't come out publicly and say, hey, you know, we agree with him. You know, he's got to toe the company line. But who knows what he's saying privately. But what's your thoughts on Josh Sitton coming out and saying what he said about the Detroit Lions and their coaching staff and their defensive line?
Yeah, I think he was just speaking his mind. I don't think he was. I don't think that's anything he deliberately did. I was actually listening to that show live when he did that, and it was good radio, but it didn't catch me off guard because a few weeks ago, probably about 3-4 weeks ago, on that same show, he said pretty much the same thing. He didn't go as far, but he definitely voiced his displeasure with the defensive line of the Detroit Lions, and really said that they played dirty. But I think what it does is it creates an interesting dynamic. So I think the Packers, they're really lost right now. They don't, without Aaron Rodgers, for some reason, you know, it's understandable that it affects the offense, the play of the offense. but it's also having an adverse effect on the defense. And I think what Sitton did was light a fire under the – well, I'm hoping. I don't know if it's going to happen, but we'll see how it goes. But what I'm hoping happens is he's created a distraction internally to take the minds off the fact that Aaron Rodgers is missing and light a fire under the offensive line. You know the Detroit Lions defensive linemen are going to be coming after Sitton today. It's going to be a dirty game in the trenches. The things that we don't see and hear on television are going to be a lot worse than what Sitton said on the radio. And when you have that happen, what you hope is everybody's going to rally around Sitton. His brothers on the offensive line are going to have his back, and they're going to scrap and fight, and the Packers are going to take that mentality to the Lions, and they're going to come out victorious. I think that was really good.
Well, there's one thing that you brought up that I didn't even think about, and that was that it does take some of the spotlight off of Matt Flynn and even off some of the shoddy play of the defense. Here's what I'm thinking Josh Sitton did and why he did it. He's challenging his offensive line, and he, for his football team, he's putting the hat on himself and on that offensive line to go get it. Not the way and back up and be slapped in the face. They're going to go out there swinging their nunchucks before Sue and Fairley and all those other guys get a chance. That's the attitude that he's bringing, and I'll tell you what, I applaud him for it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think what he did was fantastic. I think the Packers have been missing the fire, and I think he's lighting the fire, and I think you're absolutely right. They got to take the fight to the Detroit Lions.
And then Kevin Gibson, first of all, welcome to the show. You're a first-timer. We certainly like to welcome you. Happy Thanksgiving. And we certainly look forward to your insights, not only today, but hopefully in the future you'll decide to stick around.
Thanks, baby.
Kevin, we certainly mean it. Who's been the most consistent player on both the offense and defensive side of the ball thus far for the Green Bay Packers?
I think you got to look at Eddie Lacy, first of all. I mean, the guy is just, he's a beast, you know. He's exactly what we hoped he would be when the team drafted him. He runs hard. He knows the offense. He makes his cuts. He finds the holes. I mean, I think that he's been by far the most reliable guy on offense. Defense is another matter. It seems like people are up and down. You know, Tremont Williams has had a couple great games lately, but I would have to point toward A.J. Hawk. You know, AJ's having a relatively quiet season, but it's a relatively steady season. You know, he's always there. He never goes out with injury. He's, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he's one of the team leaders in tackles. He's got 3 sacks. Those are the two I would point out.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're certainly on my list as well. I think I've got maybe 6 players who kind of fit that bill. Doug, do you want to elaborate on that list?
Well, you know, I think Kevin hit it right in the head, you know, with the 2 guys that stand out immediately, offensively and defensively. Davey, you touched on it, you know, a couple of weeks ago when you take a look at the offensive line. And I tell you what, this rookie left tackle, when you take a look at what he's been able to do in probably the most highly scrutinized position on the offensive line, you know, I really think, oh, gosh, without a doubt, I mean, He's been in a position that we've not had to worry about at all this entire season. And like I said, when you got a guy behind you like Aaron Rodgers, obviously you don't want to see him taking blindside hits like that. And so, and then flip the side, you know, defensively, I think Kevin hit it on the head with A.J. Hawk. He was a guy who's obviously been under the radar here for the last couple of years. You know, should we re-sign him? Should we not re-sign him? What's he worth? You know, should we let him go test the free agent market? You know, when we went out and got him from Ohio State, I think the expectations were that he was going to come in and he was going to be a guy that you focused on in the center of the defense, you know, almost like a Lance Briggs or a Brian Urlacher or a Ray Lewis, you know, that type of player. But it wasn't really his mantra. You know, he kind of just quietly went about his business and realized that if he stays consistent and steady at the heart of that defense, that he's going to have a job in Green Bay. And we've been able to put some players around him, which have kind of taken the heat off him a little bit, because you've got guys like Clay Matthews, Nick Perry, you know, other guys who have come in and played well at the linebacker position. But right in the center of that has always been A.J. Hawk. And, you know, you take a look at all the problems that we've had defensively, he's probably the one thing that you can say this season we haven't been disappointed in defensively.
I should certainly add Mike Daniels to that list on the defensive side, and I would have to also add the aforementioned Josh Sitton and also Jordy Nelson for consistency and availability and accountability. I would say those four on offense, and certainly Daniels and A.J. Hawk especially. Heard on the Mike McCarthy show, A.J. Hawk leads the team in tackles by like 40-some tackles. I mean, that's just unheard of. You talk about someone that's rising to the occasion. Of course, a lot of his brethren have been in and out of the lineup, but again, there goes that consistency, availability, and accountability. But A.J. Hawk, he's only missed three starts in upwards over 120-plus games. So everybody loves A.J. Hawk. He bleeds green and gold. He's just a good, fundamentally sound football player. They always got on him earlier in his career. Doesn't make the big plays, but he's steady. He's out there. He calls the plays. He does a lot of things well. And then Patrick, staying on that defense. They've really dropped off the last 4 weeks. What are the keys to the game for the defense to hold up their end of the bargain, or can they hold up their end? Sitton's putting it on his offensive lineman and himself to say, hey, we're going to swing first. We're going to get back to those first seven games. We're going to be physical. Eddie Lacy wants to be physical. Andrew Corliss is physical. Kuhn is physical. We're going to go at him on the offensive side of the ball. What's the defense saying? What do they need to do? What is the key to end that four-game slide of just an overall poor performance? Patrick?
Yeah, I think the game plan is pretty much the same. Control the line of scrimmage. The you know, as you mentioned, the defensive line has dropped off considerably. They went from fourth in the NFL in rushing yards to 19th, and there's really no rhyme or reason for it. You know, there are injuries, you could say, but the defensive line has really been the deepest position on the team. You know, Johnny Jolly, some might say that he's hitting the wall after being out of football for a few years. Maybe that's true. Maybe he's just banged up. He's a big guy, and he takes a lot of pounding. He takes a lot of wear and tear. But yeah, you know, I don't have the answers, and I don't think any of us do. But at the end of the day, they got to come in there today and they got to shut the run game of the Detroit Lions down. We can't have Reggie Bush having a good game against us. And then, you know, the obvious is Kelvin Johnson. Kelvin Johnson's very much like Adrian Peterson. You can only hope to contain him. But where the Packers really, you know, also got to consider things is on the other side, Nate Burleson. You know, they could be put, if they double team Kelvin Johnson, that opens him up. And then they also have some pretty good tight ends. It's going to be a formidable task, but I don't think it's one that they're incapable of succeeding at. I think the key to the game is contain Kelvin Johnson. Don't let him beat you deep. Don't let him score a bunch of touchdowns on you. Keep Reggie Bush under 50 yards and then don't let those secondary receivers, Burleson, the tight ends, you know, take the game from you. So, I mean, the game,
well,
I think this game is on the defense is more than the offense. If the defense can come and play like they did the first, 7 weeks or whatever of the season, then we have a very good chance of winning this game. If they're going to play like they played against Minnesota and the games preceding, then I think everybody's going to be eating their turkey a little less happy.
Well, let's hope that's not the case. Defensively, we're probably getting Sam Shields back today, it sounds like. He's listed as probable. He's had good luck against, or success against, Calvin Johnson. So it'd be nice to get him back in a what was a deep secondary. It's kind of been a depleted secondary. So get Sam Shields back. Clay Matthews is coming along. Getting Johnny Jolly back. Let's hope he can bring back. He's listed as probable. Hopefully he can regain some of that magic of the first seven games. I've been saying of late that Ryan Pickett and Jolly have possibly hit an old man's wall, similar to a rookie wall. And I hope I'm wrong in that, but the last couple of games, and certainly the last four, the run defense has deteriorated. And a lot of the success was those three 130-pounders weighing a half a ton in Pickett, B.J. Raji, and Jolly. And then with two-thirds of that has been missing due to whatever reasons, that certainly put a hole in that run defense. But let's hopefully that's not the case. Doug, are you seeing any drop-off other than that growing pole of Johnny Jolly and Ryan Pickett during this four-game defensive skid? Any decline in any players?
Well, you know, I think obviously the tight end position, ever since we've lost, you know, the likes of JerMichael Finley, it's been a position where I think we've seen some questions whether or not, you know, you've got a guy – in Corliss, obviously we know what you got in Corliss. He's been here for a few years, he's a veteran on the team now, but his health has been in question. You know, he's been banged up a little bit. Looks like you get him back full strength today. Brandon Bostic, you know, we saw him drop a touchdown pass last week that probably should have been caught. You know, it's one of those positions I think that inconsistency has really hurt us at, not only in running the football, but especially giving our quarterback, which, let's be honest, it's not been a consistent quarterback position, but that tight end position can be just such a safety blanket for that kid back there behind that offensive line. And if you can get some more consistent play at that tight end position, which we haven't been able to get, obviously, because of injury, I think it helps offensively quite a bit.
Well, you know, and certainly those are valid points, Doug. My contention is, on the flip side of that, is JerMichael Finley's never really been consistent. He's never really been somebody you can depend on. He'll go through stretches, and certainly before he got injured this time, his last three, four, five games, prior to that, in between those injuries, he was having a good season, no doubt. But he got hurt in 2010, entered Andrew Corliss. We went on to win a Super Bowl. So I'm not sure that in theory and in practicality, yes, but I don't think Finley's injury is as detrimental to the team as some would make it out to be. Certainly a super talented tight end. I hope he don't come back, not because I don't like him, because I do. I like everybody that dons a Packer uniform. But those head injuries, those neck injuries, I just am scared and worried for those guys. I'm glad Nick Collins retired. I don't know about Sean Richardson, that lower fusion they say is not as at risk. But when it comes to stuff like that, I just wish we'd give them a lot of money and send them on their way and let them go coach or something. But, yeah, the tight end position has been inconsistent, as has the defensive backfield. You want to talk about a defensive position group that has been a disappointment. It's been that defensive back group. So, Patrick, what are your thoughts of the play of a young Micah Hyde, for example? Kind of took the role of a Casey Haywood, who never really did anything this year, having injured himself at his own private facility and then came back to Packer land and re-injured it. But the original injury, he did working out on his own. You can't blame the Packers for that. But it's turned out he's costing the whole season. Enter Micah Hyde. Has that been about even, or is that an upgrade or a lower grade when you're comparing those two?
I think Hayward's a better coverage guy. He seems to have a little bit more speed than Micah Hyde. But Micah Hyde's a good football player. I think ultimately you're going to see him move to the safety slot. I don't know that you're going to see that happen during the remainder of this season, but I think in the off season, I think that's where he eventually goes. He does get beat. He does get beat on deep routes. He doesn't have. I think Hayward's got a little bit more speed than Hyde. And it's really disappointing that Hayward went out with that hamstring injury, because I think, you know, having two very capable defenders back there was really an asset to the Packers, obviously. But I don't think they're a very good straight up comparison. I think they're a little bit different players. I think Hyde's a little bit more aggressive. I think he might be a better tackler, but I think Hayward has better ball skills, and I think he has a little bit more speed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both of them certainly bring a lot to the table, and you know they are talking about maybe next year moving Micah Hyde to safety. And Kevin, everybody seems to be down on another safety, Morgan Burnett. Has his play tailed off this year? And if so, why?
I don't know that it's tailed off necessarily, but I think there are two factors involved. He's making a lot more money this year, so they're expecting a lot more out of him, and I don't think he's quite delivered that. And I think he's probably covering more than his fair share of territory because he doesn't really have a good running mate back there. And this kind of goes back to Micah Hyde. I agree with you guys. He's probably better served as a safety. I just saw a stat this morning where he's been, on his last 11 targets, he's given up 10 receptions. So I don't want to say that Morgan Burnett has slipped. I just don't know that he's lived up to what everyone expected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then moving on to Tremont Williams, staying with the defensive back group, he's kind of been coming on the last few games, not really done much of anything up until then. And as far as turnovers go, the Packer defense of late had been, you know, in the upper echelon in creating turnovers. And if I'm not mistaken, the defensive backs only have 4 interceptions this year total, and puts them at the bottom of the rung in that category defensively. Now they're going up against Megatron and Calvin Johnson today on their turf. What are they going to have to do to kind of stop that aerial attack? Do they need to play zone where they have Williams and Sam Shields cover both sides of the field? Or do you have Shields follow Megatron all over the place?
Yeah, I don't think there will be a shift in scheme. But I do believe that we're probably going to see Shields on Megatron. I think the thing today is, can we keep Jarrett Bush off the field on defense? You know, having Shields back is going to
preach it.
Yeah, so having Shields back is going to push Hyde into the slot, and he'll probably be faced off with Burleson, which will be a little bit easier matchup for him. You know, I think that we're going to see a back and forth game. I think the Lions are probably going to score a lot of points. I look for another up and down affair for the Packers defense. I mean, you think about in the fourth quarter, the Packers defense was what we expected it to be in crunch time. And then we got to the overtime, and the Vikings made a switch at running back, and the defense just didn't respond. They couldn't get to those gaps fast enough to stop the runners from getting through. They've been bouncing outside all day with Adrian Peterson, then all of a sudden Toby Gerhardt's going straight at them. So
right.
I look for a lot of that. I look for a lot of that, you know, adjustments and how well will they make them on the fly and how many points can we score.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, gentlemen, we certainly appreciate all your insights to the game today. And now the time is running down in our pregame show, so I need your predictions and your thoughts on how the game's going to play out. But we need to be mindful of the clock, so each of you take about a minute. And, Patrick, I'm going to start with you. Tell us how you think the game's going to play out and give me your final score. and then I'm going to go Kevin, and then I'm going to have Doug close it out.
Yeah, thanks, Davey. I have been this last stretch of games has been really hard on my predictions, and I'm really never sure which Packer team is going to show up. So I took the very logical approach this week of simply flipping a coin, and I went with tails never failed, and it landed on heads. So I'm going to say the Packers lose 28-21. It pains me to say that, but you just never know what they're going to do this last stretch of games. I hope I'm wrong, and I hope they get a win, and that kind of eases the transition back to our starting quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. But right now I'm going to have to say they lose today.
Well, whatever the Green Bay Packers record has been since 1992, that's been my prediction record, because I've always picked them to win, because they've always had an elite quarterback. They don't have an elite quarterback today, so I'm abstaining. Kevin, KD, go ahead and give us your thoughts and your final score.
Well, you heard part of mine. I think it's going to be a back-and-forth deal. I think we're going to see a lot of sloppy play. We're going to see a lot of penalties, some turnovers. I look for some fights to break out along the trenches. Going back to what Josh Sitton said, I think that what's going to happen is a key turnover is probably going to decide this game, and whoever ends up with the ball last is probably going to win it. In my prediction, I wrote almost exactly what Patrick just said, was flip a coin, you know. So I went ahead and decided to have some Thanksgiving cheer, and I picked the Packers 26-23.
Well, they scored 26 points last week, although it took them overtime to do it. But
well, they only had a good quarterback for half the game, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, we really need to tighten up that red zone offense, and that was true even when A-Rod was under center the first half of the season. So let's hopefully we can score more touchdowns than field goals this week. And now, Dougie Badger. I need your prediction on your score and how you think it's going to play out.
All right, well, the prediction on my score is Packers win 41-38. I really think it's an up-and-down game today. It's going to be a lot of fun. Sit down, grab your turkey, and enjoy the game, because it's going to be a lot of offense today. I've got a good feeling. You know, if you take a look at the Detroit Lions, traditionally on Thanksgiving Day, they haven't won since November 27th, 2003. And it was actually against, I think, the Green Bay Packers, evidently, or not. Jason Hansen hit 5 field goals that day, and they got an early first quarter touchdown. I don't think it's going to be quite the same game as that, but Detroit on Thanksgiving has been outscored a total of 319-144 since playing that game against Green Bay in 2003. I really think that if you're a Green Bay Packer, you need to come out today and say, we have to get a win. Offensively, Matt Flynn has a big day. You saw it last week. He knows the offense. He's comfortable running the no-huddle. I think you see that a lot today. I think they go up and down the field. I think Jordy Nelson, James Jones, Boykin, I think they all have big games. Eddie Lacy runs all over them. But then defensively, I think we still have some things that we have to work out. Megatron, he's impossible to stop. Matthew Stafford has come to just throw it up and have him come down with it. I think they do it again today. I think Reggie Bush gets a couple of touchdowns. It'll be a fun game to watch, but inevitably I think we've got Mason Crosby with a game-winning field goal as time expires and the Packers win
41-38. Wow, I better go to the liquor
store.
What?
I'm going to have a heart attack on Thanksgiving.
Well, I'm going to go to the liquor store and get some whiskey and Coke, because that sounds like a very enjoyable game to watch, 41-38. I say that Matt Flynn cannot throw any of those little flutter-type passes. If he's going to throw anything up to the sideline or down the middle, he's got to zip that ball in there. Yes, he had a good game, but do I have to remind everyone that he almost threw a pick six? If the defensive player would have held on to a very easy interception, So, you know, we can't get all giddy. We gotta, you know, we gotta avoid the turnovers. So, that's my book on Flynn. We would like to thank you for listening to the LombardiAv.com Packers pregame show here on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to catch us again Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for a special edition of the Packers Sports Panel, where we will be discussing everything Green Bay Packers. Until then, for Fansided's Doug Ayton, our own Kevin Gibson, Patrick Hughes, and our producer Ray Rivard, I am your host, Davey Miller. Have a great rest of your day, and go Pack Go, baby.
Go Pack Go.
Nope.